You are listening to WMIE, today's Modern Worship, 91.5 FM.
We want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
And happy St. Patrick's Day to you. We pray that you are having a great, great day. And we want to thank you for joining us here on this Friday on the Refresh radio program. Pray that you have plans to be in the house of God, worshiping Him with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And we'd like to take this opportunity to invite you out to our church services. We are going to be having Sunday school on Sunday, 9:30 in the morning. We got worship service at 10:30. And then a week from tomorrow, we have at 8 o'clock in the morning, our Be a Blessing yard sale event. This is the number one vehicle that we are using to get word out. We also have some invitations that we have created that we have been distributing. And so we've been planning this for months. We've been telling people to go through their belongings, see if there's anything that they do not need, do not want any longer. And we've also said, hey, don't bring that in until next week. Now, I will tell you that next Wednesday, we do not have a Wednesday night service. And that's because we are going to be gathering together and utilizing all of the personnel that we can to try and get ready for this yard sale event. It's a yard sale like you won't see very frequently. I'm because it is a Be a Blessing yard sale event, I don't want to give the secret away, but I guarantee you that if you come to this yard sale, it's not going to be like any yard sale you've ever been to, more than likely. So when we were much younger and we moved into our house, we realized that we had some stuff that we didn't need anymore. And so one Saturday morning, we decided to have a yard sale. We got up really, really early and set it all up in our yard. And we had lots of people come and cars that came by and all of that sort of stuff. And at the end of the day, we had worked for hours and hours and hours, and we didn't make hardly any money. We had an event like that at the church one time too, and it's like, there's got to be a better way. Well, our Be a Blessing yard sale event is a better way, and so we want to invite you out to that. Again, that is a week from tomorrow, 8 o'clock of the morning. We will be wrapping it up at noon so that we can put the sanctuary back together for the Sunday services. So I want to take you in the Word of God today. By the way, my name is Bob Arthurs, and I pastor Merritt Assembly of God, 165 North Grove Street, Merritt Island, Florida. That's where the yard sale event is going to be. We have parking out in front of the church. We have a parking lot in the back of the church. And so we should have a relatively good amount of parking space available for you. And we pray that you will come not only for the bargains, but you will come for the gospel and for the opportunity to serve. I want to take you into the Old Testament today. We're talking about devotion to God. And I want to talk to you about a man who doesn't get talked about all that often. His name is Ezra. There's a book in the Bible. So if you go back to Psalms, you'll turn left and you'll come to the book of Job, and then you come to the book of Esther, then you come to the book of Nehemiah, and then you come to the book of Ezra. Ezra was a contemporary of Nehemiah. Nehemiah gets all sorts of sermons preached about him because he came back and he helped to rebuild the structures. He came and he helped to rebuild the wall and reestablished biblical governance in the land of Israel. Ezra doesn't get as much attention, but I remember reading an article that talked about archaeology that had been done in the Promised Land. And the archaeologist gave great, They were very complimentary. They were in very encouraging to the transformation that took place in the Promised Land through the ministry of Ezra. And today I want to talk to you about that so that you can see what is possible with one man. What they said was that whenever they looked in and they did an archaeological unveiling or discovery of home sites that were before the Babylonian captivity, before the 70 years, that almost every one of those homes had some little teraphim or idols that were embedded someplace or found someplace within the home. In other words, they didn't find very many homes, if any, that did not have some idolatry compromise going on. But they said any home that we've excavated from the time of Ezra on, we did not find those same the same degree of idolatry. We didn't find much in the way of idolatry in any of those homes. Ezra transformed the spiritual community of the children of God. So here's what it says here. It says in Ezra chapter 7, verse number 8, it says, "And Ezra came to Jerusalem in the fifth month, which was in the seventh year of the king. On the first day of the first month, he began his journey from Babylon. And on the first day of the fifth month, he came to Jerusalem according to the good hand of his God upon him. For Ezra had prepared his heart to seek the Lord, or to seek the law of the Lord, and to do it, and to teach statutes and ordinances in Israel." This is how the New International Version reads: "For Ezra had devoted himself to the study and observance of the law of the Lord, and to teaching its decrees and laws in Israel." If I were to ask today how many people want the hand of God upon them, I think that we would get a very large representation of people that said, "Oh, I do. I want the hand of God to be upon me." The hand of God is upon us to empower us, to protect us, and to help us to complete the journey that God has before us. So when many of these people made the journey back to the Promised Land, I believe it was Nehemiah said that he didn't want to ask for the king's protection because he had a testimony of the protection of God and the hand of God was upon him. I remember having a conversation with a person in the 1990s. I think it was probably around 1997. So no, 1990. Yeah, it was 1997. I had written a person a letter thanking them, and they called me. They found my phone number. I didn't ask them to call me. They called me, and they made this statement, and it said, "Pastor, the hand of the Lord has been strong upon me and has been moving me to make a donation to your church to change this particular situation." And I was like, praise God. Praise God. If you want to know what that situation was, it was that one of the buildings did not have air conditioning. And it would get to probably 120 degrees in parts of those buildings. And we didn't, we didn't have a lot of resource at that particular time. And this person said, you let me know how much it's going to be and I will take care of it. And they did. And they said it was because of the good hand of God upon us. I know a lot of times there are people who will gently place their hand on somebody to let them know where they are at or to give them direction. But I want you to know that God's hand is upon us, not only to protect us and not only to guide us, but to empower us to be successful in representing him amongst the people that need to know him. So it said that according to the good hand of his God upon him, and here was the prerequisite for that, for he had devoted himself to the study and observance of the law of the Lord. If you want the hand of God to be upon you, it's going to take more than just, that would be a really nice experience. You need to be able to say to God, God, I am not only committing myself to being devoted to you, but I am living my life devoted to you. I am devoted to studying the word of God and obeying the law of the Lord. So here a couple of weeks ago, we were having our Wednesday night Fire Bible discipleship study, and a person was sharing a personal testimony of a family member that needs Jesus and that they had been exposed to a quote-unquote preacher who was taking the word of God and bending and distorting and contorting it to keep people in bondage to sin instead of getting freed from sin. And I'm not talking about, just because it was a different denomination. That's not it. They were intentionally misinterpreting the scripture and propagating it in such a way that it was designed to keep people deceived and in bondage to their sin instead of repenting and receiving the gift of eternal life. We need to study to show ourselves approved, a workman approved unto God that needs not be ashamed. That we need to make sure that we are studying the word of God. But all of that study without application is going to be fruitless. It will lead to frustration. So I had this person in my life for a while, and we would meet technologically pretty frequently, and it got to be to where there was so much information, and because of the busy schedule that I keep, I'll tell you a joke about that in just a minute. The busy schedule that I keep, that I had so much information and I wasn't getting to apply that information. And it was extremely frustrating. And I said, look, this is a great meeting. I enjoy talking with you, but I'm not getting to apply the information. I'm not getting to implement these things. And, it's going to take me a long time just to get through what we've got. And so I need to suspend, this relationship, and the expenses of life have prevented that from resuming at this point in time. Again, nothing wrong with the information, but you've got to put it into practice. And so I told you just a moment ago about my busy schedule. I've got an office manager that's there a couple of days a week. Most of the rest of the time, it's me. I'm the one that's in charge of procurement. I'm in charge of doing the radio. You know, there's visitation that people in church do, and then there's visitation that the pastor does, on top of the studying and the other things that go on. And so I stay pretty busy. And so, this goes back a few years ago, and, my wife came home from work, and, I said, man, I was so busy today. And there are things that, I mean, like, there's a prayer meeting that takes place with pastors on Thursday. And I really like to go to that prayer meeting. I just have some obligations that sometimes, the only time that I can get those things done, it keeps me away from those prayer meetings. And so I told my wife, I said, man, I was really busy today. And we have a very good sense of humor. I love to make jokes. I love to tease people, and I love to laugh. And my wife, who works in a very busy environment, said, oh, did you have to answer the phone and open the door at the same time? And I just burst into laughter, because of, her comprehension or her understanding of what my day looks like, when she is busy answering the phones and talking with people all day long. Did you have to answer the phone and answer the door at the same time? Well, I do have to do that from time to time, but, it was a little busier on the calendar than that. Ezra prepared his heart, and I pray that you will prepare your heart. And he devoted himself. He was committed to the Word of God, to studying the Word of God and obeying the Word of God. So, you and I pray that we are devoted in 2023 as a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ to studying the Word of God, not just owning a Bible, not just reading a Bible, but actually studying the Bible so that we can see what God expects from us, so we can obey Him in a manner that is pleasing and acceptable in His life. So Ezra had prepared his heart to seek the law of God. And then he said, and to do it. And to do it. So if you want the hand of God to be upon your life from this point forward, not only do you need to be devoted to preparing your heart and seeking the law of God and studying the law of God, but you need to live it. You need to live it. And so I don't ever want to be the person that squashes the zeal of someone, especially when it comes to evangelism. Don't want to do it. I've watched people literally have negative impacts upon young people's lives because the young people were very zealous for God, and all of a sudden, you know, they get their joy, their zeal, have a bucket of cold water thrown on the fire burning inside of them because some saint doesn't like what they're doing. And, you know, my response whenever that's happened has always been the same. And that is this: okay, do you have the relationship with them that you could speak into their life? Especially if you're dealing with a minor, there needs to be communication with the parents involved in that situation. And, you know, don't make their relationship with God harder. You and I, we need to be living the Word of God. We need to be living the things that we've studied. If we are devoted to seeking the Lord and to studying what God's Word wants, we need to make sure that translates into living out the love of God, the truth of God, the holiness of God. Listen, the world is looking for the church to conform to the new normal that the world system is trying to establish, but that is not what the church is called to do. The church is literally empowered by God to call people out of darkness into light, out of sin into forgiveness, and into holiness. We are not supposed to be creating a world environment inside the church. We are called to live out the truth of God's word, even in the midst of a hostile environment to the word of God. Study it and obey it so that you can do it, so that you can live it out. And then Ezra is set up for one last challenge. And that is, and to teach statutes and ordinances in Israel. Again, that's Ezra 7, 8, 9, and 10. The last thing is we've got to teach it. We've got to teach it. A lot of church services now, because of the new ministry paradigm, there's a lot of multi-site, multi-service churches that are going on, and in order to accommodate more people than you've got space for, they've got to get people in, and then they got to get them out, and so that they can make room for more people to come in. The reality that we're going to be able to make a powerful impact on people's lives in a 45 minute to an hour long encounter once a week, the odds of that being successful are pretty low. Can happen, but it's the amount of exposure to the world system versus God's system. If that's where it's at, you know, 45 minutes to an hour, if you even stretch it to an hour and a half on a Sunday morning, an hour and a half versus 167 or 166 and a half hours a week, the odds aren't good. The odds aren't good. So I pray that you have your devotion time, but I pray that you also have a person in your life that you have a relationship with, that they are teaching you. Make sure that your teachers have the hand of God, that they're anointed, that they are passionate about the word of God, that they're passionate about the kingdom of God, they're passionate about the mission of God. Make sure that they're that, and then make sure that they are not teaching you without having the personal devotion going on in their life. I pay attention to a lot of different type of news stories. And one of them that always catches my attention is whether or not it involves a minister or a pastor. And just because a person claims that they're a minister doesn't necessarily mean that they are one. It's just the way it is. And so, whenever I am reading those articles, sometimes I read about articles where the pastor's pulpit presence doesn't match the pastor's private presence. In other words, his private behavior is different than his pulpit behavior. Now, I will tell you that this has been said repeatedly to different people, and they share this with me, that through the years, people have said, I listen to Pastor Bob on the radio, and he just sounds so real. And probably the greatest compliment that I get is not a compliment that's shared with me. It's shared with people from Merit Assembly of God and how they respond to that. And they say, oh, he is. What you hear on the radio is how he is. And so I pray that you've got someone who is set up to teach you not what your ears itch to hear, but what the Word of God has to say. Ezra was not only personally devoted to learning it, he was personally devoted to living it in obedience. And because of that, he was set up and God anointed him to teach the people of God. And if you remember, if you go back to the beginning of today's program, the archaeological evidence is that Israel was distinctively different after Ezra's ministry because he taught them. He taught them the Word of God and how God could change their life. I know the Word of God can change people's lives because I've seen him do it. And I pray that as you're inviting people to church and you are praying for them, that they know that they can come to you because they've watched you live out the Word of God. I pray that your credibility index is high. You know, they talk about the credibility of Congress and the credibility of the presidency and the credibility of the Supreme Court. And they talk about the credibility of used car salesmen, and they talk about the credibility of ministers. And I pray this, that your credibility level is higher than what people see most Christians having. I pray that your credibility index is higher than Congress, because it's really low. I pray that your credibility index is higher than any other politician, because people know that you have devoted yourself. You've given your life to understanding and being passionate about the Word of God, living the Word of God, and you're also passionate about passing it on so that others understand it. When those things are what you are devoted to, I guarantee you, like Ezra, you will find that the good hand of God will be upon you. You might find that the good hand of God will be heavy upon you, and he's pushing you into an anointed ministry you could have never accomplished on your own. God bless you. Make some time to learn the Word of God this weekend. We'll see you back here Monday on the Refresh.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merit Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, meritassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to meritassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.
This is the air I breathe. This is the air.